Hello, everyone. My name is Penny, and I am an alcoholic. Oh, boy, here we are, right? 6 and 7. I have to admit, I was a little bit happy about the fact that I get to do a twofer tonight because I've been concerned about not having enough, call them material, life experience to fill up and get to the quarter after the hour, but hopefully that won't be an issue tonight. So step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. I probably should get rid of the gum because I'm going to be chewing it like a cow. Wow. Now that's support, I tell you. So as I was preparing for tonight, I thought it was really timely that I'm speaking about steps 6 and 7 during this time in a Christian's life, that being the time of Lent, which is, you know, really an attempt, I think, to replicate the sacrifice Jesus made 40 days before Easter. And you might be thinking, what's that connection? And for me, when I look at step 6, I look at it as being sacrificial, believe it or not. And I mean, who wouldn't want to get rid of something broken for something new and something better? Well, that would be me. I'm just so selfish to my core that I don't even like giving up my crappy stuff, you know? It's kind of like when it's time to clean out your closet and you have that clothing you don't want to wear and you struggle about donating it to the mission. I mean, that's kind of how I look at this sacrifice of giving up those items that I found on my fourth step that were not so favorable. The other thing, how many of you like Lord of the Rings? Who's a fan? We only have one fan. Two? All right. So I always like word pictures. So the other thing that came to mind was Gollum, and he's got the ring, and what does he say? My precious. You know, and that's how I feel about myself sometimes, and that I'm just very resistant to letting go. So all in all, I would have to say that steps 6 and 7 were probably the two most difficult steps that I worked in this program, for me anyways. So step 6 is about the removal of what doesn't work in my life anymore. It's about tackling the fear that rises when I think about getting rid of an obvious old way that on the surface has served me for many years. It's fear of the unknown because I can't see how I'm going to handle life when I don't have my anger to make me feel strong, or my selfishness to get what I want, or my pride to get recognition. These character defects served me because they made me feel as though I was running my life. They provided instant gratification and some sort of outcome. So at first examination, which means, you know, as I was kind of reflecting back, and I have to go back a ways, and we all know how my memory is, you know, trying to remember, you know, what kind of thoughts did I have when I first approached 6 and 7. And the thing that I remember quite well is this crazy thought that somehow I was going to lose myself or become somebody. It was almost like, you know, because I didn't like who I was and I was going to become somebody else, at least I knew who I was that I didn't like, and whoever I was going to become, I had this weird concern or fear surrounding that. Today I know that if I get lost, somebody will find me, right? If I start going down the wrong path, somebody, hopefully, in the rooms of AA is going to point that out, or a sponsor. So I don't have that concern about getting lost. And today I know the person I will become is the person God intended me to become. And that brings me a lot of peace in my life today, to know that I'm attempting to live a life that I hope is pleasing to my higher power, because as I had shared, especially early on in this journey, that was the thing that really stirred me up more than anything, that really caused a lot of stress in my life, was knowing darn well that I was not living the life that I should have been living. So early on, I also wondered if people would like and accept the new me, even though I had no idea what the new me was going to be like. I was already worrying about it. And today I know that being liked and accepted does not produce integrity. And that is a difficult thing also for me, because obviously I want to be liked, I want to be a part of, and if I'm making everybody happy, then I'm making everybody happy. I'm probably not being completely honest with those folks, either about myself or whatever the situation might present. So that's a hard one, you know, going along with the crowd, even though I know that it kind of goes against, you know, what I believe in and what I need to be doing in my journey here. Another initial concern when I first examined step six was that it's too hard and I will fail, and therefore I would displease God or others. So there's that fear again. And today, yep, that's going to happen. So time has been good to me in that respect. Like, yeah, I'm going to fail, and I'm probably going to displease God. If God gets displeased, I don't even know if that's really a reality. I guess I don't even believe that as much as I might have before. And boy, isn't that wonderful. I know it's wonderful for me to just calm down. It's okay, and you're not perfect, and I believe that today. You know, I used to give that lip service, but today I'm not perfect, and I'm all right with that. And I kind of shared a little bit about that, you know, in my fourth and fifth, you know, coming to terms with the fact that, you know, I'm a mixed bag, and I had to, you know, accept both sides of who I was in order to move forward. In step four, I discovered that fear, lying, cheating, and selfishness didn't work. Intellectually, I did not want my character to be made up of these attributes, mostly because they sound awful. I mean, right? you know, I didn't really understand the depth and the heart that was involved in coming to terms with these attributes. I just didn't want you to think badly of me. But when I got honest and really examined my heart, I saw that these character flaws or attitudes and beliefs and behaviors were no longer serving me. I saw that they actually were ruling me and sending me on a path of self-destruction and hurting others. That got my attention. So on page 76, the big book poses a question. Can God take them all, everyone? And after I was able to see the path of destruction, that living a life based and self-created, of course. But I also came to see the reason for my hesitation was lack of faith, and I was forced to make a decision to rely upon God's help. So the step for me was more about my faith in God to effect a change in me. That was the hardest part, turning over my will. So my trust in God falters, and it is easy to slip back into the default mode. I'm reminded often after I've acted out a character defect, such as perfectionism or pride, that I really don't want to be that person, especially when it hurts another person. I thought I'd share a little example of, even at 33 years of sobriety, I have a long way to go, like the rest of my life. So it's Christmas time, right, at the Lyles. We're getting ready for the Christmas time. This is not a Hallmark movie. This is a horror movie. So Eric, the last couple years, has been trying to pitch in to help me around the hall. I like to decorate most years. Some years I do it out of ego, because everybody says, oh, your house looks so beautiful. And of course I like that, right? So I'm very particular, And he's been trying to help out outside with decorating. And that's great, you know, because it's cold out there and it's not as pleasant as watching a Hallmark movie and have the tree lit and the fireplace going. And so he's decorating outside, and I go out, and he's putting the lights up, and I said something that was really inappropriate. I didn't realize that at the moment. And I was telling him how to rearrange something, and he said that he said something, and I responded that, well, that's okay, I'll take care of it later. Ouch. So Eric and I have never been separated one day during our marriage. Like, we didn't, like, I'm mad at you, I'm going to sleep over at my boat. We just didn't do that. We just endured everything. Well, he was so irritated, he actually got in his car and drove away. He just took a couple minute drive. Wow, was that hard for me? Because that's where I'm at today, is that my perfectionism, my character defect hurt another person. I needed to be called on that. And I was called on that. I felt terrible because here he is trying to help me, and all I'm worried about is having my way. And so it was a real wake-up call. It was a real strong example that is still lingering with me. Here it is, you know, March, and it still brings tears to my eyes when I think that I can be so inconsiderate, so selfish over something so ridiculous. I didn't even intend for it to come out that way, but it did, because that's the condition of my heart. And I have to be diligent in working this step and continually examining my motives. And it is a lot of work some days to be walking around in this person. So step six is a lifelong process. For me, I'm confronted with this step often. And I get an opportunity. Isn't that great? I get the opportunity to practice this reliance upon my God, even though it's a little ouchy sometimes. But that's my part. My part is to examine my life, and God's part is to remove it if it's his will. Today I try not to beat myself up too much when I struggle with a defect for a long period of time. Because I tell you what, for a lot of years I was pretty embarrassed that things that I was working on when my first year of sobriety are still kind of lingering. I mean, the magnitude of it and the heaviness and the chance that it might cause me to drink isn't there. But there's just some things that are so resistant and so residual. And one of those is my selfishness and self-centeredness. You know, so I just look at it. I find that I have to laugh at myself because of how ridiculous I can be. But that doesn't mean that I make an excuse for my behavior, that I just, isn't she being silly today? No, there are consequences to my words and my actions and my thoughts today. So a little bit about step seven. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. So the big book says that when ready, for me, this meant ready to trust God to guide me towards a balanced being, one who loves God and loves others. Asking him to remove anything that stands in the way of my usefulness to my fellows, asking for the strength to overcome self, asking God to be the boss, the ruler, the ultimate authority in my life, surrendering with a white flag. I had this story shared with me years ago. Again, I'm all about little word pictures, if you will. And, you know, that surrendering, to me is so well described when you think about two people in a boxing ring, you know, two boxers. And I'm in there, and I'm one of the boxers, and I keep getting hit, and I hit the floor and hit again and again, and I keep hitting the floor. And after a while, it's like, don't get up. You know, you won't get hit if you don't get up, and that's why I like to see surrendering, that sometimes I just keep placing myself in those situations instead of making a change. In the forefront of all this is being aware of my stuff. And I think that takes a level of humility, and I think that that's the key point to step seven is seeing myself for who I really am. There's a lot of different things that I was able to find about humility, but it's, you know, it's called being right-sized. I'm sure many of you have heard that. Seeing myself as God sees me, which is loved and powerless. Those are the two words that came. Boy, have those two words changed since when I first came into these rooms. Loved and powerless. What a great place to be for me anyways. Not being in a state of despair over my humanness, but in a state of peace, serenity, and accepting life on life's terms. I have found from reading the Big Book that the foundation of many of the steps is humility. And for me, it's a fundamental aspect of my sobriety. So I thought I would look up and on the interwebs, as we call it at home, and find some quotes on humility. There are hundreds of them. I could have just filled up all this time with quotes. Yeah. So anyways, I thought I'd share a couple because I just really like them. Pride makes us artificial and humility makes us real. I like that. No artificial anything, right? We can be organic now. That was Thomas Merton. I have no idea who Thomas Merton. That was my homework. Do you know Thomas Merton?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, I have to check him out. We can have a pen. I have to mark this fella. Here we go. Thomas.
I'll bring the material.
All right. I need some material. Okay, this quote is from C.S. Lewis. I'm aware of that author. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. It's like, oh my gosh, I've been hearing that for years and didn't realize that was a C.S. Lewis. Charles Spurgeon, he's another author I'm aware of. Humility is the proper estimate of oneself. It's pretty cut and dry. Mother Teresa. If you are humble, nothing will touch you, neither praise nor disgrace, because you know what you are. I like that one. That was pretty cool. William Countryman. Anybody know who that is? Me either. Okay. More homework. In reality, humility means nothing other than complete honesty about yourself. So anyways, I could have filled up an entire page on that, but... this is an AA meeting. So the action part of step seven, and you might be wondering, well, why do I say the action step? Well, the action step for me is the humility part, is getting to that place where I'm willing to have these shortcomings removed. But here is what I discover, and maybe you did too. Asking to be removed of my defects does not automatically make them go away, because God isn't a genie God. And that requires action on my part. And over time, I found that working steps in seven are kind of an organic process happening naturally and is a continuous process. So now I recognize my shortcomings, and if I'm in the right spiritual mindset, I ask God to rid me of them. Or if I have gone too far and harmed another, that is my brick wall that wakes me up to the fact that I'm running on self-will again. So it's up to me to be aware of my tendency and make new choices. The Big Book suggests we start our day with prayer, thinking about the 24 hours ahead and asking God to direct our thinking. We ask that God direct our thinking and that we not fall into self-pity, dishonesty, or self-seeking motives. The big book suggests we pause when irritated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. The big book suggests that we relax and take it easy when stirred up, to come down off the ledge, to stop the struggle, we are to pray. I find also calling my sponsor or another AA member or maybe journaling also helpful. The big book suggests at the end of the day we examine our day to see if we were successful in being free of self-will and if we were helpful to others. The big book suggests that we develop a mantra to say to ourselves something like, "Thy will be done." These new choices might sound familiar because they are step 11 on page 86 through 88 of the big book. But I was reminded that my daily reprieve is contingent upon my spiritual condition. My daily reprieve from self is the objective of step 7. To find my shortcomings and work consciously, to hand them over to God, and to be removed each time that they surface. The end. I know. The end. Short and sweet, right? Oh, that's right.
Okay. Question and answer time. Stay there. Run off.
No.
Thanks for that, Penny. Mm-hmm. And thanks for the series. takes a long time not to do. So in the sixth step, my sponsor suggested I do an inventory of my character defects and my character assets. And I've been doing that with the sponsees I work with. And I know in the big book it talks about taking inventories of our, as we go through, mm-hmm. taking inventories of all kinds of things. So do you do something like that so your sponsees know where they are on these defects?
Are you talking about as a sponsor or as I personally went through this?
As a sponsor.
As a sponsor? I focus on the four step when normally a person's doing their sixth and seventh step one time when I work with them. I mean, even though it's a continuation through step 10, 11, and 12, that they have just worked that four step and just given that fifth step, that they have all that information there. They should be highly aware. Maybe I should have you come up, right? We just did that today. That it's very, very fresh in our minds what our character defects are. So I think yes, but not because I squish everything kind of close together immediately following the fifth, the sixth, and seventh is done. So I would say yes, we do that.
I'm running. Didn't want to trip over that foot though. That would hurt.
Thanks, Penny. I really needed to hear what you had to say tonight. I'm glad I came over instead of going back to my couch. where nothing gets done.
Yes, I understand.
But this is, I hardly even know how to word it because it's like new in my head. Anyway, my 19-year-old granddaughters have developed animosity towards me. And I've been noticing that going on a lot, trying to talk to them and them. Mm. I suppose it's age too, but I asked my son, their father, about that. And he's telling me what I already did know about myself, and that is exactly what you were saying, and I'll use your Christmas lights as an example because I would do the same thing. And I'm only trying to help at mm-hmm. the time it's happening out of my mouth. Well, to put them over here and not mm-hmm. letting it go mm-hmm. when they say, no, it's fine there. Well, I think they would really, mm-hmm. you know, just not letting it go. And that type of personality has been with me a long time. So my son explained, because it's been with me a long time, that's why they're already anticipating that I'm gonna that I'm gonna be in that space. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, you know, because when you're in recovery, I know I'm doing that kind of thing, but trying to work on it and change. I even had to ask him. I says, well, am I any different? You know, even though that is a mm-hmm. big part of who I am, have I been any different in the past few years? And so I did get a little bit of a compliment, and I'm a little more peaceful. I don't get angry like I used to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to push so hard I'd get mad that they're not doing it the way I want them to. Mm-hmm. And so I wondered, you have so much sobriety under your belt and you're wondering, why aren't I changing? How come I didn't change faster, bigger? Mm-hmm. And so I was wondering, I don't even know what I want to ask you. How do you change overnight?
Yeah, the overnight thing doesn't happen, does it? You know, and that's when I said that, you know, it's a little scary, 33 years of sobriety, and I'm still dealing with some of these character defects from when I first came into the rooms. And, you know, unfortunately for me, it is actually when I have I hurt another person enough that I've been hurting people all along, right? And I think that because my heart is softened now, that I'm living more of the way God wants me, that I have spiritual eyes and I see the hurt. I was so blinded and incapable of even recognizing what I was a wrecking ball in my family's life by making these snide, sharp remarks to them, completely unaware of what I was doing. So now that I see it, it's the pain that causes the change. It's me focusing on humility and realizing that, wow, that wasn't so much fun. That character defect is no longer serving me. Why can't I give that person the grace and the love that they deserve to help me decorate my home? And why do I feel like I need to control it? And I always try to turn things back to my higher power. It's like, what if God treated me like that? And he doesn't, you know? God loves me. He's got to be having a good belly laugh once in a while. He accepts all my flaws, and he just continually extends grace to me. But yet, I am very stingy with it. Very, very stingy. So I guess the basic answer is pain. For me, anyways, that's how I make change. Yeah.
All right.
Going back to that one example that you gave about Christmas, which, if we believe anything about psychotherapy, that one example is really a pattern that really highlights that whole character defect throughout your life. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess the question I have is, how soon after that moment did you realize that it was the character defect that was surfacing, mm-hmm. and then how did you make amends from that mm-hmm. moment?
Well, I knew immediately by the reaction, the hurt on his face, the fact that he got angry. Probably wasn't so much of a catalyst to make me recognize that I had overstepped a boundary again. I think it was mostly the hurt, and then he got angry afterwards. I mean, it was a split second as soon as it came out of my mouth. And I it was just instant. I just remember going in the house, and I remember, you know, crying and being upset. And unfortunately, like I was sharing with Wendy, that's just the way I roll sometimes. And it's frustrating, and it can be a downer if I'm not careful, because then I'm walking on eggshells, right? Like I want to go completely the opposite. And I find that I do that at work, and it's apparent. I have a tendency to get a little wound up funny. I like to goof around, throw paper balls, and, you know, have a good laugh at work to lighten it every couple hours, because it can be kind of very serious, quiet. So I'm just a fun person. And when I get into this mode of, oh, you're practicing humility and I need to be quiet and I need to... People don't think you're funny, Penny. You know, nobody wants to hear your story or your whatever. I can go completely the opposite, and then I become very quiet. And then people are saying, I haven't heard you say anything for a couple of days. So it can be a real seesaw for me to have an experience that's very emotional like that. And not go to the extreme. And so that's why it's, I think, important that I'm in communication with a sponsor, that I'm sharing this with somebody at least, so that I can get some direction and balance, because I'm not a very balanced person. I can be very extreme.
Okay, Penny, Marion, alcoholic.
Nope. Yeah, alcohol. That's Wendy over there too.
Okay, hi Wendy. Okay. I struggled, I think, with this step too, and I agree. Sometimes it's a real painful scenario, and I had one with my husband last year, and it was painful enough it made me kind of look in a mirror, and I didn't like
That's
it.
That's a good way of saying it, yeah.
But I don't know if other people, and I don't know if you felt this way. I initially thought, if I sincerely give these things up, I thought I was, that they'd be gone.
I know.
And they weren't. And so, you know, and over the years, when I would do things that I, you know, my awareness is quicker, my... You know, apologies are quicker. I see things quicker, and I appreciate that progress in the program. But sometimes I worry that my faith has slipped. And I know initially I thought, well, maybe it's because you just really weren't into the God thing, and you didn't have faith. And I never really wanted to say that, bring that to words, because it almost seems like I faked it. But and every now and then I still do think that, you know, I think, geez, why did I behave like that? I know better. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right,
and do you find that
do.
With other with, people you sponsor, that they feel like, did I just not try enough? Do I not have enough faith? Why can't I get rid of this defect?
And again, you know, that whole question about, you know, well, for one, you know, I hope and pray that I've never led anybody to believe that they do all of their steps up through six, and then they do step seven, and then they wake up in the morning and they're pretty much the same person they were the day before. I mean, God is not a genie, and I hope that I've emphasized that with everybody that I've worked with. It is a process. And that process, you know, is the faith. And the faith requires that, to me, it needs to be coupled. And that's where, in my talk, I talked about the action part. Because I have to do something to kind of remind myself that it's not like you say it one time and you get on. That would be like me, I think, oh, I'm an alcoholic, and then never doing anything about it later. You know, I had to take steps to come to AA. I have to go to meetings. I have to read the book and work the steps. I have to do a lot. You know, I did, especially early on. And so anything worth having is like that. And so for me, if I want to rid myself of these character defects, you know, when I was creating that list of items, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of action here. This isn't a little prayer that's a paragraph long in the big book. This is me, you know, like the mantra, you know, thy will be done. I mean, pretty much I have my quiet time in the morning, and then there's the end of the day, and there's all these hours in between when I'm messing up my life, when I'm exercising my character defects all over the place. And so, you know, for me, I need to implement steps in order, action steps. And I think it will make it make them go away quicker or be less severe. But, you know, it's back to that human thing. I don't think God, I don't know why we expect ourselves to be perfect, because I know God doesn't. And that has been my longest journey, is coming to terms with the fact that I'm a human. You know, and not that that's a cop-out, but just kind of getting a good chuckle out of that. You know, it's kind of funny. So.
Going to the back.
I don't do this often. Just wondering, you had an incident with your husband, and
just one.
Well, now
just one. I'm so perfect.
You felt like you overstepped your boundary. I just want to know how he received your apology and what happened afterwards.
Well, he's a very kind person. I mean, when I apologized, he saw that I was upset, and he accepted it quickly. I mean, he's in recovery. So, I mean, he has to keep up some standards, too, you know. No, you know, it is a blessing to be living with somebody, because he got where I was coming from instantly. He knew that this was, that I examined myself, and I saw my fault, and I wanted to right the wrong. Isn't it funny how we have all this in the background of our heads, even though somebody from the outside hasn't, they just said they were sorry. No, there was a whole process that went on just then, you know. But the key thing is to that is I've made that apology before for the same type of action. And the thing is that those times in between, you know, hopefully are getting further and further apart. I mean, this was, you know, I have the ability to see a piece of dirt on my carpet, like, from feet away. It's like, but I don't see a whole lot of other things, you know, like maybe the next tool that he needs while we're doing yard work is something I should have prepared to hand off to him. I don't get that, but I can find a piece of dirt on my carpet. And so I have to be mindful that my world is different than his world or anybody's world. That the expectation is not what I'm expecting. That I can't assume everybody's thinking like me. And that has been really helpful in the way that I treat other people. Because, again, it removes me from self. It's like I'm thinking about another person. Anytime I'm thinking about myself, my motivations many times are not best to serve God and serve others when I'm in that mode. Because I'm serving me. And not that they're terrible things, right? I got to get groceries Saturday morning, 8:30 a.m. That's what time I go. I have my parking spot. Best not be in my parking spot. I mean, this craziness, right? And when that doesn't happen, I get there at 8:50 and my spot's gone. And it's like, it's just this working from that realm of self does not serve God or others. And I don't want to be like that, but I am. Like, that's the funny part. I am. And so just recognizing that has been, I don't even know how we got all the way from here from your question, but we'll end at that.
Thank you.
I hope this makes sense. Hi, I'm Erin, an alcoholic.
Hi, Erin.
I'm hoping this makes sense. Do you anywhere along the lines did you find that some of those character that were character defects that you used that manifested themselves negatively turned into things that you could kind of transfer into strengths?
Into a positive thing?
Is that what you're... instead of it being like
a negative, because there, we obviously mm-hmm. all have, I don't have a lot of flaws, but...
I know.
you don't know any of them anymore after today. But can you take some of the things that, so being aggressive, mm-hmm. you can maybe turn that into more of being assertive and use it as a positive characteristic. Does that make sense?
And I think... I think that points towards the natural instincts. We all have natural instincts, but for me, I found that mine were out of whack, out of balance, awry, and that those things are good. I mean, being assertive, being ambitious. You know, if I wasn't ambitious, I wouldn't be at Wegmans at 8:30 in the morning to get the groceries. And if I wasn't ambitious, I wouldn't be at that job the week before to earn the money to buy the groceries. And, you know, on and on it can go. You know, if I wasn't ambitious, I wouldn't have a home and all of those materialistic things. So, yeah, that's good, but... You know, so if I'm too ambitious, then that's all I'm about. I'm what they call a workaholic, or I'm trying to scheme my way through moving up the ladder or whatever at the expense of a whole lot of people, at the expense of my family and, you know, maybe my coworkers. So I think that's a very easy example. Fear, you know, naturally we're born with the ability to be afraid of danger, but when it's unfounded fear or fear of the future, that's where my fear was, financial insecurity, like what if that happens, you know. And for me, what I did with that fear that I had about financial insecurity, I actually imagined the worst possible scenario: being homeless. That was my worst possible, that's all I could dream up. And I thought, you know, I wouldn't be homeless. I mean, I have Kevin here, you'd take me in, and Eric and Bella. All right. There's homeless shelters. You know, once I kind of thought my way through it, it's like, well, no, you're not going to be homeless. It might not be pleasant. So all of those character defects, I think, are, as we share, kind of on a scale. You know, ego and pride, you know, I can be way over here, but as I move through the steps, hopefully it comes over that there's humility. So I'm kind of on there, and I can fluctuate some days more than others. All right. All right. Thank you.
That's not funny.